My name is Paddy Regan. I'm a man of indeterminate age, but now retired for quite some time. And in my former existence, I was a management consultant. But I've always been telling stories because I'm originally from West Clare. And we had our house in West Clare, which was a thatched cottage in the village of Quilty, was the kind of rambling house for the village. So when we were near a very early age, I was listening to what people did and the stories that they had. Mm-hmm. And in those days, people occasionally were beginning to come back from America, and their experience of America was amazing to behold in the terms in which they expressed it, because before they left Quilty, some of them had never seen running water or an electric light or a car, and they'd only ever seen a single-story building. So you can imagine what their impressions were if they were landed inside in the middle of New York. Mm-hmm. So there were always stories to be told. And of course, the stories always had embellishment. That was the important part of the story, to embellish it, make it richer than it actually was. So, and one of the things about Quilty men in those days, they wanted to prove that they were doing well. So when they came back from the States, you know, they wanted to show evidence of progress. So they nearly always had the men always had a gold tooth inserted to show, I'm doing well, look at my gold tooth.
It's like having a gold filling.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I'd call it a gold filling, a gold tooth, yeah. And then the other thing to say is that I'm a Cork man, but my father had hoped I would be born in Clare. But nature didn't oblige, so I was born in Cove. So my father said my birth was not such a birth event as an accident of geographic location. That's what he called it, you know. And then for the past 25 or 30 years, I've had a love affair with Listowel, mm-hmm. through my friend Billy Keane, you know, whom I got to meet and mad about and done lots of stuff in Keane's pub. And I'll give you a beautiful little story. I was asked to do a one-man show in Billy Keane's, mm-hmm. and I did. And John B and Mary came down to watch the one-man show. The pub was thronged. Did the show. It was excellent. People loved it. Lots of applause. And I got the most beautiful left-handed compliment I ever got from John B himself. Mm-hmm. When the show was over, Billy came over to me and he said, Pad, the dad thought you were great. And I said, Billy, that's not good enough for me. I want to know exactly, precisely what he said. Mm-hmm. So he said, well, I went over to him and I said, Dad, what do you think of Paddy? And he said, John B said, this is the left-handed compliment, but one of the most ones that I've treasured, the one that I've treasured. He said, I can find no fault with him.
Oh, wow. That must have been the beginning of your career then.
Oh, dear. Listen, there's no higher accolade than that, mm-hmm. From a Kerry man. Mm-hmm. You know, no higher accolade. So I've been telling stories for, I don't know, a long, long time. And I have a kind of a facility with accents and characterization. And so people like that.
Yeah.
People say, probably of all of the characters that I do, people like me doing PC, which is not politically correct. It's posh Cork.
I was going to say parent control or something.
Those days are over for me, right?
Very much, yeah.
No, posh Cork, yeah.
Paddy, do you find there's a difference? Let's say if you were telling a story in Clare, in Cork, and Kerry, is there a difference in the way you tell it?
That's a very interesting question, because I might tell the same story, and you know, I normally do maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, that kind of stuff. People are telling the same story, but Kerry people, Cork people, and Clare people, they laugh at different parts of it, mm-hmm. because the humour that's in it hits each nationality, if I may say so. They take a different view of the humour that's in the story. Now, the punchline will remain the same, very much the same. And then I'll make local references if I possibly can. Mm-hmm. Like for here, when I'm talking about posh Cork, I'd be talking about the Rochestown Road in Cork, or it'd be Fox Rock in Dublin, or Taylor's Hill in Galway, or Castle Troy in Limerick. But there's even a posh part of the story called Greenville, and I'd normally work that in, yeah. to the story that I tell, and it gets a great reaction, because people who are in listening to me from Greenville get a ribbing from their neighbours, you know.
Yes.
So it's I never look on entertaining an audience. I always regard it as a collaboration between myself and the audience.
Yes.
You know, and I get them to repeat phrases in the story. And if they don't do it properly, I go back and rehearse them again, you know. So there's great fun in that.
Oh, wow. So even with your own stories, you're getting the audience involved as well, which is nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
There's a set that I do which is talking about going dancing long ago, you know. So, for example, a simple thing like the fellas will be watching the girls, but the girls will be watching the fellas. And in those days, you'd have to take the girl and her pal. And I have a whole character around the pal. If the girl of your dreams was beautiful, you'd always recognise the pal. The pal would be the plain one. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
But the girls were always watching the fellas as well. And so they didn't want to go home on the handlebar of a bike, which is what they would have had to do, you know. So they'd be watching. And a lady told me this. She said, we'd be watching the fellas coming into the dance to see if they had wrinkles in the back of their coat. Because if they had wrinkles in the back of their coat, they meant they'd come to the dance in a car. The penny drops.
Interesting.
Or there's another one which said, if the lady's choice, you know, I don't know if they do it anymore, the ladies at one dance of the night would have a choice, you know, they could pick the fella they wanted. And they would dance, and it was normally a slow dance. Do you know? And so, you know, she'd be hugging into you, you know, very close to you. And you would say, oh, romance, romance. Not at all. She was feeling if you had the keys of the car in your pocket.
Interesting observation.
A lot of them worked at it. A lot of them worked at it. Yeah, yeah,
very
yeah,
good,
yeah.
Very good.
So what I do then during the course of that set is I take up a member of the audience, an attractive girl, and I dance with her. And there's a phrase that we'd use in Cork, you know, it'd be the second last dance of the night, and you'd be in a clinger. Do you know what a clinger is?
No.
Oh, Jamie Mack, you don't know what a clinger is, you know, where it's a slow dance, and the two of you cling to each other.
You see, in my generation now, Paddy, we don't dance anymore. We just throw our hands in the air.
You're missing an awful lot. And so you'd be in the clinger, and the second part of the phrase is with a lasher. A lasher in Cork would be somebody as gorgeous as yourself.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there you go. So you're dancing, and so I bring a girl up from the audience, and we, you know, get her to hug in and do a close dance, and I'm in the clinger with the lasher. And there's a whole pile of things flow out from that.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you'd have to leave the two of them home.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but if you only had the bike, if she was unsure of your intentions or didn't fancy very much, she'd sit on the carrier on the back of the bike, and the pal would sit on the handlebar.
Oh, Jesus.
And then if she still didn't fancy you that much, what would she do? You'd have to leave the two of them home. That was the rule. You'd have to leave the two of them home. If she didn't fancy you, you know, she'd leave herself off first.
Okay.
And you'd have to leave the pal home.
Okay.
And if the girl lived in Listowel, where would the pal live? Loira Compan. And you'd be all the way off to Loira Compan with the pal.
Oh my gosh.
And the finish of this little part of the story is, at least, and I say then, at least 50% of the men, I bet at least 50% of the men in the audience here tonight wound up married to the pal. And the simple male opportunistic premise, I'm not going all the way to Laura Compan for nothing.
Very good, Paddy.
But people identify very strongly with that, you know.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
do it, and they really enjoy it. And I love it myself. Mm-hmm. And the audiences sort of love, they love characterization
mm-hmm.
rather than a straight story. You know, I adopt the character of the person, of the personalities that are in the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. You might have a posh Cork lad, and you'd have a fellow from the north side, you know, or you might have somebody from Kerry. You know? Yeah. I have a long story that goes on where they're travelling across the Bay of Biscay, and they have a Kerry pilot. And it's all about the two engines have gone in the plane.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
I've already seen the Father Ted scene.
He comes on and he says, Mayday, Mayday, yes, Mayday. The twins are gone in the plane. We're going to crash into Bay of Biscay. Now, Biscay is the term, but Biscay is the way they pronounce it here in Kerry. And the story goes on and on. Anyway, so they're all going to crash. And if the people who live on the left-hand side of the plane will probably survive, because that's what has happened in previous crashes with this plane. And the rest of the plane are going to die because they're all going to be drowned. That's what has happened when this particular 737 has crashed previously. So he said, all of you on the right-hand side of the plane now who are going to live, probably survive. God bless you and spare you and good, you know, safe home. All of you on the left-hand side of the plane are who are going to die. You're ruined anyway. We'd like to thank you for flying Aer Lingus.